This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to this version of America Tonight. Sad to say, America needs to heal itself, and we need love, not hate. Unfortunately, this anti-Semitic rant of this crazy, deranged man killing 11 people and injuring others in a synagogue is just so over the top. It has taken people a few days to even wrap their mind around what's happened, and the outpouring of support, naturally not a surprise, for the people from the Tree of Life Synagogue and the people of Pittsburgh has been phenomenal. Pittsburgh rabbi talks about the massacre on America in its attack, and that, sure, you know, that synagogue, Rabbi Jeffrey Meyer said, while American citizens can't freely and safely worship in their house of worship and celebrate the Sabbath, it concerns me because it challenges the safety and security of all Americans in any house of worship. And yes, it's very troubling. So it is very troubling, and it is the conversation that needs to be had when we're talking about how do we protect the people who go to worship in any form of worship. Myers, by the way, was starting services Saturday morning when the gunman burst in, and this Robert Bowers is the gunman, when he burst into the Pittsburgh Temple shooting the people and screaming anti-Semitic statements and just picked off the people. They were soft targets. So three women, eight men from the age of 54 to 97 were killed, including two brothers. He's being hailed, this rabbi, as sort of a hero, definitely a hero for saving a lot of his congregants. But he said, you know, no, don't call me a hero. And he said he's coping badly with the trauma and he regrets he couldn't save more people. And of course, that's how he would feel. I mean, you know, he also said he's not sure if the shooter can be forgiven because the wounds are too open to answer that kind of question when he's been asked it. And can you really forgive everybody for all evil? You know, that's one of the big questions that you try to answer when it comes to religion. And theology, obviously, is religion, but in trying to answer that question. So I think synagogues are on high alert. Churches are on high alert. We've seen churches where people have been killed as well. And a lot of times the policy that moving forward is adopted is we have to have somebody armed. We have to have guards. We have to protect the flock. And we don't wish we didn't have to do this, but we do. And this is the way we live now, so we'll have to accept that that's what we do moving forward. I don't know that everybody will embrace that. I think it's a discussion that's being had and happening right now across America. Next week is another week of services across the land, and will there be more churches, synagogues, other places of worship where you'll find that some people are armed? In the meantime, there was another hate crime, or hate crime being considered anyway, and this happened in the Kroger, and this was in the South at a Kentucky grocery store. 51-year-old has been charged, Gregory Bush, with murder and some other crimes in this fatal shooting of two shoppers. The saddest thing I heard about this, and it just really caught me because I thought of all the time I spent with my grandfather when I was a kid. My father died when I was eight, and I was around my grandfather a lot, including shopping, and at 12 being with him in a store and shopping with him. And there was a young boy with his grandfather. His grandfather was killed right before his eyes. He ran out of the store crying, screaming for someone to help. And, of course, his grandfather died. And then there was a woman in the parking lot of the Kroger who was shot. And apparently he was trying to get into a church, but guess what? That church was locked. So frustrated, he went down the street to the Kroger and decided that he was going to kill a couple of the people in the Kroger store. So it's been a really rough week if you want to add everything up, including the whole pipe bomb deal. So we're heading into the midterms. People are talking about this, talking about safety and a slew of other issues that affect us as Americans when you go to the polls. What I am really excited about is that people seem to be going to the polls. I'm looking at photographs of people with the I Vote stickers, and I think that's a good thing to do, try to encourage other people to vote. I know in my own neighborhood the lines have been long and early voting, so that makes me feel good that people are out there voting. I always say this, we still live in the best country in the world, and by God, we need to protect some of these rights. And one of the best rights that we have is the right to vote, is to go out and nobody telling you how to vote. You can listen to all the information. You can make your own phone calls. You can look at voting records. You can decide on your own, what do I want to see happen in my neighborhood and in the United States? Who do I want to represent me? Is somebody there now who's out of touch, hasn't done what they're saying? Is somebody in there now who I think is terrific and I don't want to see the incumbent replaced? Lots of decisions in a lot of different areas and some really key races, including in Texas. Ted Cruz, apparently in the latest polls, and these are polls, remember, but in the latest polls, he is leading by a little bit. He's leading his opponent, Democratic opponent Beto O'Rourke, by 51 to 46%. 2 weeks ago, he was leading 54 to 45%. And so there is a margin of error. We know that, at least 3.5 points. But this could be close because a part of it is Beto O'Rourke is pretty organized. There's lots of people campaigning for him and people raising money for him. So it's going to be interesting to see how those numbers fall in the great state of Texas. Will it be as close as the poll show, or will it separate a little bit more? And then there are a few others where it's close too. And I know you're listening to me all over the country. And as a whole, looking at this, it's, you know, they're in Virginia. They're talking about Congressman Brett Struggles is having a hard time with the competition with the Democrat Spanberger. You can't make these names up either, right? Struggles versus Spanberger. But the voter enthusiasm is pretty high on both sides of this. And according to one of their latest polls that's out, the latest poll from, I'll tell you what the poll's from, the Watson Center for Public Policy, the race statistically is 1 point. So they're saying that currently, the incumbent is 1 point ahead, and with that minus plus minus range, the margin of error, that puts it up for grabs, I would think. And then it's some national concerns, where I say the issues. Democrats are polling better than you would think. 47% of voters approve of the job the president's doing, 51% disapprove. Interesting, huh? Stay with us. More to come here on America Tonight.
Kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Haven't felt like this, my dear.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
What if there was a social media network only for the conservative?
What if there was a social media network not only for the conservative right general public, but also a platform for conservative politicians and advertisers?
And what if the social media network was the only free speech network in existence?
There is. It's RightSocial.net.
RightSocial.net, a response to President Donald Trump's direct presidential order.
RightSocial.net, where you have the right to freely speak your mind.
RightSocial.net,
the right place to be.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Tonight, a couple of quick things, some show information. One, I'm going to start to show some behind the scenes of getting ready for America Tonight and some of the other things that are happening in my world because you've asked for it. So, voila, why not? We'll let you peek inside. What's it like doing the show? And you'll be able to catch that on Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. If you want to email the show, like for Nail the Score, or just to let your thoughts flow like so many people have done always consistently on the 10 years, in the 10 years that I've done this, you amaze me because I worked in big markets, New York and Dallas, and boy, I definitely got lots of phone calls, but didn't get a lot of emails, not a lot of emails, so congratulations to you. A lot of you listen different times of the day. You've talked about going to TuneIn, where the great people at GCN load all the stuff up so you get the content there, or you go to the GCN website and you can also get it there too as well. But that's terrific. And the other thing is, I haven't talked a lot about it, but my book is coming out because people ask about the story. What's the story? But the story with lessons, because who wants to just hear about me and what about what it relate, how it could relate to you? So my book is called Deal Your Own Destiny. It's by Forbes. Forbes Books produced it, published it. Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. It's on Amazon pre-sale right now, but it drops on the 9th. So on November 9th, the book Deal Your Own Destiny drops. And I'm excited about that. And I'll tell you more about that as, you know, we move along here on the show. All right, so let's talk about the big headlines. And the big headlines really are focusing on the midterm elections because we're getting closer to that. That is right around the corner. There are some hot races. There are a lot of people, it seems, doing the early voting, but I think it depends on where you live. And a lot of times we think that, but then we see the numbers and they're not necessarily high, much higher in a presidential year. And, you know, we're grief-stricken over Pittsburgh, the stories about that, the funerals, and the First Lady and the President are going to be there on Tuesday. And of course, there is concern about security, but I think when you're the leader of the free world, you need to be there. I think it's smart to go. So then the conversation is about the trauma afterwards and the lives lost at Tree of Life and struggling with hate speech tied to that and what does it all mean? And, you know, frankly, in the Jewish community, there's kind of divide over Donald Trump, lots of support for him, and then not support. But that's pretty much how it is in this country. We're a polarized nation across the board when it comes to politics. I think the big takeaway from Squirrel Hill, which is the suburb where this synagogue was, is that love is stronger than hate, but when you go into a place of worship, you are vulnerable. You're a soft target, and the conversation has to go toward, do you need a guard? Do you need somebody armed? How do you deal with that potential threat, which may never happen, and hopefully never, ever happens, but can we now say we know what could happen next? And the answer is you just never know. The other question is, are we going to see any kind of a clash at the border eventually? The deployment of 5,200 additional troops to the Mexican border with that caravan from Central America making its way through Mexico toward the United States. We're still a way away from that. While that happens, there is also and the scramble for votes going on with the midterm elections. There is the scramble over what's going on with the stock market, and tech stocks are dragging down, I think, a lot of other stocks. So Monday battered again. The Dow Jones was down, swung more than 900 points from 350 up to 500 negatively, wiped out gains, that whole thing. The Dow closed down about 250 points. It's kind of bouncing all around. And you look at the issues, China, Russia, emerging markets, uncertainty of policy in when it comes to that, tariff news, tech stocks being off, all of that, higher interest rates. You know, even Apple, you think of people lining up to get the latest, greatest Apple phone every year. It's like a must-have for people. So Apple shares were down 8.54% from their massive high. You know, you just think of Apple, winner, just massive. I should have gotten an Apple when I had $2 in my pocket. But no, now it's down. And Google was down almost 20% from its high. So a lot of tech stocks also taking a beating. And part of that is because there were reports that England plans to tax Facebook and Google revenue 2% in that country. They hadn't done that before, so then that sends the market toppling. I said it before, I'll say it again in case you've never heard the show. Listen, you're at the craps table when it comes to the markets. When it comes to investments, we all know that. It doesn't take a genius to realize that, or, you know, it's like anything that you invest in. You get these assurances, you think you do your homework, you look at it, but then something can wipe it out. So the key idea is to keep your eye on it and not walk away from it. I think that's what happens. Something balloons, you get excited, and then you kind of move away from it because you're on to doing life and other things, and you're not checking closely on it. Check it every day. Look and see where that stock's going and what you need to do. I'm not a stockbroker advising you. I'm just giving you my two cents on the right way to ride that kind of thing instead of waiting until, whoo, boy, what can I do? Of course, when you're talking about a 401k, which is awesome if you have a 401k, you pick a basket of stocks in the beginning of the year or when that entry point is, and then usually you can't maneuver that too much. Or if you're retired, you can, so you got to pay attention to what it is you have. Check for stocks with dividends would be my only advice. If you have a nice, healthy dividend, that certainly helps. This is a sad story. 189 people on a brand new Boeing jet that was operated by Lion Air crashed, and they're pulling, unfortunately, mangled body parts out of the sea in Jakarta. No explanation for what happened. It happened shortly after takeoff. The sky was clear, and the Boeing 737 had been in service for a couple of months. It had flown 800 hours. The pilots asked to return to the airport after they took off. Request was cleared, but the plane then lost contact and plunged into the sea. Oh, my gosh. So who knows? They're finding ID card bags, you know, all kinds of things that you can imagine, and they're trying to identify people. Very rough for anybody who knew somebody on that flight. 15 ships are looking for the main section and the victims. You know, the 300 rescuers have been deployed from search and rescue. 30 divers in the water trying to get the fuselage. The black box is always the big concern. They're looking with robots and sonar technology. And Indonesia is actually one of the fastest growing aviation markets, especially in that air area, because air travel is a necessity to go to the other areas near it. But it's kind of mixed when it comes to safety. You know, remember, planes were banned from flying to the United States in 2007 because they were deficient in a couple of different areas, like technical expertise, rather, trained people, trained personnel, record keeping, inspection procedures. Boy, that makes you feel safe, right? Wanting to get on one of those planes? Not really. And Lion Air is the largest budget airline. It's 50% of the market they control. So there's plenty of people that would jump on that plane. That's what they take, and flying to different islands, different areas of, you know, Indonesia, where they're going, where they were going, and going to Kuala Lumpur or any of those other spots, and just getting that phone call and, you know, realizing who's on that flight and all that kind of thing. I mean, that's why they're scurrying to identify people as fast as they can. All right, you want to hang with us? Don't forget about Nail the Score, Wednesday into Thursday, our last segment of that first hour. You want to be a part of it. You might be a winner, winner, winner. Meet you on the flip side.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
You USA Radio News.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
This atrocity was a chilling act of mass murder. It was an act of hatred. And above all, it was an act of evil.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders talking about the murder of 11 Jewish people praying in their synagogue Saturday.
Anti-Semitism is a plague to humanity, and it is responsible for many of the worst horrors in human history.
The anti-Semite who shot and killed them in the Tree of Life synagogue during the Sabbath, facing 11 counts of murder and other criminal charges. President Trump scheduled to visit the area.
The President and First Lady will travel to Pennsylvania to express the support of the American people and grieve with the Pittsburgh community.
In other news, reports the Florida man accused of sending pipe bombs in the mail to Democrats and critics of the president had a list of more than 100 targets. Cesar Sayoc in shackles and handcuffs, making his first appearance in federal court in Miami. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Dr. Eric Haley joins us. He's written a book that I think is a game changer big time. So please listen up and pay attention. You're going to want to run out and get it. Invertebrate America, The Spiritual Implosion. Dr. Haley, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what made you decide it was time for you to write this book?
Well, the way our country was going, I just thought it was time to stand up for our roots. Our country is based on the Judeo-Christian principles, and I thought we need to get back to that because we're starting to get away from that.
And when you decide to tackle something of that magnitude, how do you break it down? Because it's awe-inspiring, but it's really tough to do that. How did you start?
Well, the idea came to me and from actually a children's book. Beverly Clearly, she's one of my favorite authors for children's book. She wrote this book called Dear Mr. Henshaw, and this 10-year-old fifth grade kid kept writing this author because he liked his book. So I thought, well, I'll put this in a letter format to different segments of society and address it that way from a nurturing, tell the truth and love point of view.
Yeah, when you say tell the truth and love point of view, what are we not discussing? What are we not telling the truth about in America that you think is so sorely missing?
Well, when our nation was founded, 27 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were pastors. And King George III, he targeted these pastors. He called them the Black Robe Regiment. He was more afraid of them than great leaders like George Washington, and because it was the pastors in the churches that told us to stand up for our rights, and we shouldn't be taxed without representation. Our forefathers wrote a letter to King George III to ask for representation in Parliament. He denied him, so that fueled the fire for our independence from Britain or United Kingdom.
You know, when we first jumped on here and we're speaking with Dr. Eric Haley, the book is Invertebrate America, the Spiritual Implosion. When you say Invertebrate America, that goes to the theme of, okay, let's go back and look, right, and turn this around. How'd you come up with that? It's so clever.
Well, invertebrate, if you remember from science class, invertebrates are animals that don't have any backbone.
Yeah.
And too many of our leaders in our era, they don't have any background. Before they answer a question, they're checking a poll instead of just standing on the principles that got them there in the first place. Because when our leaders get elected, the first thing they're trying to do is get reelected. So they're not standing up for principles that stand over time, regardless of the culture, regardless of the time. They're basic principles that are the foundation of civilization, period. And they've gotten away from these to just, you know, win an election and stay in power.
Yeah, and so to that end, what are the basic principles that you hope people take away from what you've written in your book?
Well, the basic principle is there is a real God, and there's only one number one, except in college football. But anyway, there's only one true God. There's not many gods, which is the philosophy of the world. Colossians 2:8 says the world has a philosophy. Everybody believes in something, even if they believe they're a God, even if they believe in themselves. So, you know, even atheists say there's no God, which means they know everything, because how can you say there's no God unless you know everything? So my principle is there's the one true God, and that comes from the Bible. He lets us know that. And proof of that is, for example, I just give you three. Bible prophecy tells us things in the future before they happen. And you can read that from Isaiah 46:9-10. The Jewish people, they're God's chosen people, but he said in his word, they're going to be a stiff-necked people, and they're going to be the most hated people in the world. And also about them in the end time, all the world's going to try to fight over Jerusalem and try to split Jerusalem into two capitals, which we are at that point. And another is the rainbow, the Noah covenant. He said he would not destroy the world again by a worldwide flood. So every so often, after a storm, what do we see? We see a rainbow. And that's just three. I can go on and on, but those are just three basic ones.
Yeah, so Bible prophecy, if people go back and they look, it's forecasting, it's foreshadowing. I guess, you know, really what you're saying, too, is it's proof, right?
Yeah, it is proof. I mean, people are emotional. 80% of people make decisions based on emotions. Okay, because I've studied this stuff. Plus, I used to be in the, one of my backgrounds is corporate America. I was in two Fortune 500 companies, and we spent a lot of money on how people respond to things. And part of people makes most decisions based on their emotions as opposed to the truth or being objective.
Yeah, and when you say that, too, it's so funny because people talk about emotional intelligence. And I'm glad you brought that up when you talk about your background. You have that background, both the corporate background, the spiritual beliefs, and then what you've seen and what you're seeing and melding that in what's happening in the world. And you talk about the two Fortune 500 companies and what they grappled with. And do you think that also is part of what we're seeing in our culture? A lot of people being sort of a slave to money, too, and not necessarily understanding a life of abundance. Do you think there's confusion around that?
Definitely. The dollar is the world's God. 1 Timothy 6:10 said, the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. Not money, but the love of it. And people love money, and they should love people and use money, but they do just the opposite.
Yeah. And we're speaking with Dr. Eric Haley. And the book is Invertebrate America, The Spiritual Implosion. You can get it at Amazon or wherever good books are sold, of course. And we're talking about what he's seeing in the world, what we've been talking about that's going on around us. We all feel that. How do we ultimately make that shift? How do we get to the point where we're not constantly in this tug of war?
Well, first of all, just look at things objectively. The fact is, every one of us is going to die. So there are some basic questions we have to ask. Why do we die? Why are we here? What is my purpose in life? So if you go back and look at from those philosophical questions and then look at the information that's available, then you will come to the right conclusion. A simple way to approach it is to say, God, if you're real, please show me you're real. And he'll do it just out of the sincerity of your heart. Really, that's that simple.
We right.
make it complicated, but it really isn't.
Right. To say whatever it is, to show the belief. And I think you're absolutely 100% right on that. No question. And talking about breaking it down of where people are and where the world is headed. What's your biggest fear if people don't embrace what you're talking about, the principles and invertebrating America, the spiritual implosion? What if they don't embrace that?
Well, they have that right to not embrace it. But what you believe doesn't necessarily mean it's factual, what you believe. The truth is the truth because it is the truth. It stands the test of time. It's going to be true regardless of whether you believe it or not. For example, the law of gravity. You might not believe in gravity, but if you step off the roof of a house, you're going to get pulled to the earth because gravity exists. So
boy,
the truth stands on its own. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so Invertebrate America examines a lot of facts objectively so that people can come to the right conclusion. It's a witnessing tool.
Oh, I love that. That's a perfect sentiment. There's no question about that. What's been the reaction, Dr. Haley, to your book with the people you know, and now that even more word is getting out about it? What's been the reaction? It's got to be satisfying, I would think.
Well, a lot of people say, oh, man, this stuff, it stimulates your thinking. It's truth. It's controversial. All kind of, you handle the controversial questions that popular leaders try to avoid. Everything that's controversial, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, women pastors, all these type of things, the Bible addresses that. So I didn't write the Bible. God wrote it. He created us. He knows all about us. And he put these things in place for we to function. Jesus, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We do things God way. There'll be less stress. You're going to have trials because the righteous have suffered through many trials, but he's there with us to take us through the trials. And we're supposed to be make the other people who are not Christians jealous because they're going to see something different about us. So that's how it works. We live holy. We're not going to be perfect. Jesus is the only one that was perfect. And he wasn't killed because he was a sinner. He was killed for who he was. He was the King of the Jews. He was God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. So that's just a fact. People got to deal with it one way or another. People are going to have to deal with that issue. Who is Jesus? You got to deal with that before you leave this earth. There's only two destinations, heaven or hell.
I like that.
Believe it or not, that exists.
Yeah.
I've died. Let me share this. People don't know this. I actually died back in 94, 95. I had a major heart attack. And when they were operating on me, I came out of my body. I'm in the operating room looking at these doctors work on my body. And one of the doctors said, we lost him. I'm saying, no, I'm right here. I'm trying to get their attention, but they didn't see me. I'm like, no, I'm right here. So death is separation of body, soul, and spirit. It's separation. It's not annihilation as some religions teach. It's separation. Your spirit and soul go back to its creator, and your body goes to the grave. And so I'm trying to get their attention, and one of the doctors said, let's try one more thing, because I had flatline. And when he tried that one more thing, I was put back into my body, and woke up in the recovery room. So.
Wow. That is powerful. And that is the perfect place to end this. Dr. Haley, thank you so much. Pick up the book. Certainly we've gone through reasons why and what is the question, and everyone will die. As he says, what is your purpose? There's so much to this. Thank you, Dr. Haley.
Thanks for having me. And everyone, please go to Lit Fire Publishing and just type in Invertebrate America, and then my book will come up. I believe it's on page 11. So thank you for having me, and see everyone in heaven. At least those who believe.
Thanks. Thanks, Dr. Haley.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. We'll be right back.
public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 44055. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 44055. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 44055.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Reveal is not available in stores. There is a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you don't have anything to lose to return to that full head of hair you once had. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com. There's a preferred customer discount up to 25% off as well for Reveal at GCNLife.com.
First of all, I love tortoises, so you know I'm already going to like this book, and I know I'm going to like this author, but she's in our virtual green room. Lori Rao has written a book called Tortoise the Tortoise. It's a children's book. But I think even adults can pick it up, but certainly adults can pick it up to read to the children in their lives. There's no doubt about that. Lori, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So I do believe we have a fascination with tortoises, with turtles, with any kind, shape, big, small. And I definitely have since I was a kid. Did you have a fascination with the tortoise?
You know, I do love tortoises. The fact that they can live for such a long time and are so resilient and have been on this earth for so long is just fascinating to me.
And I think that's the reason it's fascinating to me, too, as well. So when you decided to tell this story and put it together, what was your inspiration for the story?
Well, I have been volunteering in a program called SMART for the state of Oregon. It's Start Making a Reader Today. And the idea is volunteers go into grade schools, K through third grade, and read to the kids and have them read to us to help them reach their reading level that they're supposed to be at for their grade. And in reading all of these different stories, I just thought, you know, I want to give it a shot, and I have an idea. I like the Aesop's fable, The Tortoise and the Hare, when I was a little girl. And so I thought, well, I bet I can do an updated version of that, make it a little bit more kids friendly and maybe have a nice life lesson in it. So that was kind of what started me down that path.
And when you come up with Hortus and you tell the story, I love that Aesop's fable to update it, because I grew up like you. I grew up with that story for sure, and it definitely, actually, it really had an impact on me. So when you take the twist and you come up with your story, tell us about your story. Tell us about Hortus.
So Hortus the tortoise lives at the zoo, and his friend is Honey the Bunny. And when I envision them, I envision Hortus being kind of a middle-aged tortoise and Honey being a little bit younger. And Honey wants to run this race, and Hortus isn't really into it, but because he's a good friend, he says, "I'll do it for you." And so when they start the race, of course, Honey is way ahead, and she's teasing Hortus a little bit about how slow he's moving. But eventually she tires, and so he actually picks her up and carries her over the finish line with him so they could do it together as friends and finish together.
Wow. So that is a definite twist. When you named your characters, how did you pick out the names? The names are clever.
Well, I was doing a rhyming book, so I had to, I named it rhymes with tortoise. So that's how Hortus came. And then I just thought Honey the Bunny gave the character I wanted for her. You know, that she was sweet, maybe a little naive and young, just kind of a little honey.
I like that. So I'm going to say this again. Lori Rowell's with us, of course, and the book is called Hortus the Tortoise. It's available on Amazon.com, Kindle, of course, Barnes & Noble, wherever you can get great books. And what do you hope kids get out of your book when they read it or someone reads it to them?
I hope that they can see that sometimes, even if you don't want to do something, you do it because you're being a good friend, and that teasing isn't always a really good idea because it doesn't end up well in the end, and that sometimes winning isn't the goal of a good friendship. You know, that sometimes doing things together and succeeding together is more important than being first place.
Ooh, that is a great takeaway. And you talked about SMART and what you're doing there in Oregon and how that's encouraging children to read. Were you surprised at how easy the story, it seems like to me, poured out of you?
I was and I wasn't. I have always liked to read myself. I grew up, you know, with the Dr. Seuss rhyming books, and I've always kind of had a fascination with, you know, trying to make a story rhyme. And so this was a really fun journey for me to take. It did take a little while for me to get it all down and make sense and have a full story that, you know, kind of followed the Aesop's fable, but had its own twist. But I really, really enjoyed that journey of writing it and, you know, figuring out from beginning to end.
Yeah. Tell us about, because you would visualize your characters, I'm sure. Tell us about the illustrations.
So the illustrations were actually done by someone else. This was self-publishing. And so I had to send really detailed thoughts of how I wanted each character to look and how I wanted each page to look and what, and I would get a draft back and I, you know, tweak it a little bit and go back to them and say, you know, I want Tortoise or Hortus to be more this color and I want Honey to look like this and I want the background to be this way. And so someone else actually did the illustrations under my direction. So there was a very talented person behind all of the illustrations.
Yeah, and that's the way it is with most people that do children's books, unless that's a particular talent they have. But I love that you went back and forth and you still had to come up with a vision. And maybe in some ways it can be harder because you're thinking of what do they look like? What are you getting back? And you can still have a talented artist, illustrator on the other side, but then you felt like they nailed it in the end, it sounds like.
Right. Yeah. I think that I was really happy with the final product. You know, it looks to me like how I had envisioned Hortus and Honey to look.
Yeah. And it's great that, you know, you think of the kids and you think of kids reading this, and then you try your hand at writing a book with these life lessons. And in the end, for you doing the book and putting it together, did you have a lot of fun?
Oh, yeah, very much so. I really enjoyed it. It was just a pleasant thing to be able to come home from work or on the weekends and just kind of, you know, sit and think about it and plot it out and make it happen.
When you got the books, when finally it's all put together and, you know, you get the package in the mail and you open it up the box, what was that like?
It was like the best Christmas ever. it was so amazing to see something that you kind of plotted in your head and wrote down on a piece of paper to come to life.
I love it. And we're speaking with Lori Rowell, and Hortus the Tortoise is the name of the book. You get it at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, of course. What's interesting is your background. Tell everybody what you do for a living.
I actually am a banker. I've worked for the same bank for 29 years and the same department, and absolutely love that job. I really enjoy what I do. I work for the international banking department. So I'm helping importers and exporters with their transactions, you know, exchanging money for goods.
Wow. And it's interesting that you would be a numbers person and you're doing this banking thing. And as you said, you've done it for 29 years. And then you've got this book that you read on the side. And were you inspired by family at all? I know, like, I'm inspired by my nephew, and I'm wondering if you were inspired by children around you.
I have a number of nieces and nephews, and actually great nieces and nephews. And I do spend a lot of time with them, and they are inspirational. And just watching them and seeing what they're into and what's important to them is inspirational for me.
Yeah. Oh, I would imagine. So now you've got Hortus the Tortoise out, and you tell everyone Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, great book, read it to kids. Hey, I'd say even get the book and donate it where people are reading to children in honor of Lori, really, because of what they're doing in Oregon with SMART. Start making, you know, a reader today. I'm sure wherever you're listening to me, there are other programs like that around the country. So what's next for you? Will you do another book?
You know, I would love to do another book, and I actually have one pretty much written, and I'd like to do a sequel to Hortus and Honey, maybe send them to the park instead of on a race, but it will depend on if I can find a traditional publisher or not. Otherwise, unless I win the lottery or find a traditional publisher, the stories will probably just stay with me and my family.
I love that. Lori, thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.